We have touched on a series on the voice of God, and the voice of God in creation, and the voice of God speaking into the spirit world, and including speaking, as you saw last week, in the flow of thoughts. And today we want to look at the voice of God in our soul. Now let's look at some few things here in the book of First Samuel. Just look at one man of God. And the first person that we want to consider this morning is David. First Samuel chapter 24. And here David was running away from King Saul at that time. And David was hiding in a cave, and Saul was pursuing after him. Not knowing that David was in a cave, Saul went to relieve himself in the cave. And while he was there, he didn't see David. But David was near enough to take a sword and slice or kill Saul, slice his head off. And in 1 Samuel 24, the Bible tells us here in verse 4. Then the man of David said to him, "This is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you." So apparently, David had the opportunity to kill Saul, and all his men encouraged David to kill Saul. Bible says in verse 4, David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now here's the thing that happened in verse 5. It happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he has cut Saul's robe. Now it looks like his conscience troubled him. But it's more than his conscience. It looks like his whole emotions were stirred up at that time. Because somehow he knew that he was not supposed to do that. The voice of God in our soul, which includes our emotions and all that goes on within our soul, is not necessarily received through words. Now we all know that there are many languages in the world. And we also know that there are some communication methods that doesn't involve words. So, if a person looks at you and go, then that is communication. Right? That's communication saying, "I'm very fierce at her." And if a person say, what does that communicate? That the person is pleased or happy or with the person. No word is spoken. And sometimes we are so limited in our human frailty that we think that all communication needs to be in words. A lot of communication takes place without words. Little children growing up pick up things from the parents without words spoken. So a whole lot of communication, in fact more communication takes place without words than with words. The words only seem to confirm or deny the actions. And when we think about God speaking to us, why do we limit God to words? Now, we have touched on God speaking through words. He does. But there are a whole lot of other ways that God speaks to us. One of the ways is He communicates in a deep level that is not heard in words. But it's sometimes heard like a desire, a feeling, or some sort of stirring on our inside. There's communication without words. Doesn't the Bible say the Lord will cause His face to shine upon you? Right? There's a pleasure you feel. Now, when the Lord's face shines on you, you feel the pleasure of the Lord on your life. When the Lord's face is turned against you, like the Lord, the Father that turned His face away from Jesus, there was something that He felt deeper than words. Now, let's look at one more incident. In the book of 2 Samuel, David was now king, very well established as a king. And the Bible tells us here that in the course of his kingship, that David had a stirring And in chapter 6 of 2 Samuel, verse 1 and 2, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Bel Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts who dwells between the cherubim. Now there was a stirring in David's heart to bring the ark. He did not necessarily hear the voice. He had a desire. And that desire was to bring the ark. That desire came from God. And as he obeyed, God blessed him. Here's another incident here. And in the book of... also in the book of 2 Samuel, as David was before the Lord, and chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. It came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in the house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside 10 curtains." Now, it's very clear from this story, if you read on, that God never spoke to David about his temple, building him a house. God never spoke to him. But there was this rising desire to do so, to put God in a proper place with a proper building. Because God was living in a tent, or his ark rather, while David had all his nice, beautiful houses built. And David feels stirred, he feels troubled about it. He says, "There is God, there is his house, there is God, there is his house." And something stirred up within him to build God a house. So he consulted. Obviously, he didn't have a direct word from the Lord. He consulted Nathan. And he says, "Nathan, what do you think? This is what I want to do. There's a desire that arises. This is what I want to do. And I'm to build God a house." Now Nathan, who is a prophet, looks at the overall picture and says, "This is a good desire. Go ahead." See, Nathan also did not hear from the Lord. It was a desire rising. But as Nathan mentioned to David, "Go ahead," that night when Nathan went back, the Lord spoke to Nathan and says, "Tell David not to do it. But tell him that I'm pleased that he heard that. And tell David not to build it, but tell him his son will build it." And that goes the rest of the story, which you can read in the Bible. Did that desire come from God? Yes. Was it a good desire? Yes. But the timing to fulfill desire and the how to fulfill the desire was different. So remember, when God communicates in ways that are not verbal, we sometimes don't have the details. And you know what David did? He went to, when God spoke to him, David prepared all the things to build God's house. He prepared it for his son. So David did flow in the right direction, in the right desire. The only thing, he obeyed God's command. Now my next question to you is this. If David didn't ask that question, if David didn't inquire, and if David didn't desire and was about to take action with a good heart, would God have spoken? My answer is no. If David never even thought about building the ark, building the temple, God wouldn't speak to him the rest of the story. Correct? God wouldn't have spoken to him the rest of the story. So, David was flowing in that voice of God that puts things in his heart. And as he flowed, it got clearer and clearer. So sometimes it's like that. There is the general leading, general direction. And as you put yourself in the right direction, the voice gets clearer and more detailed. And without turning to the Bible, there's a story of Samuel who was told by God, "Go to anoint the son of Jesse to be the next king." He didn't know which son, but for him, he had a voice. And then when he went in, he had to let all the sons pass by to find the right one. Why didn't God just specify his name straight away? But God has to past it, because God speaks one step at a time. So in the same way, remember that God speaking to us in our soul is part of turning the direction. Then your next question, if we need the details by hearing His voice and His actual words, what's this general direction? If you don't face the general direction, you can't even get a rest. We are all like a sailboat. If you don't put up the sail, you cannot catch the wind. And when you put up the sail, you catch the wind, at least you can maneuver it to a certain direction that you want it to go. So if we don't have our sails up, and you wonder, why doesn't God speak to me? It's because you never open every part of your being to Him. Sometimes God speaks without words. Now, how does He speak without words? He puts desires into our life. For it is God who causes to will and to do. Philippians, look at the book of Philippians. And chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. See, God is doing something on inside deeper than words. He's causing you to will. Before you choose, He was working. Now, we know choice is something that processes through your mind. But He's saying before the choice came, before the will came, God was stirring it up. Then turn over with me to another little passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And look at a statement that Paul made in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now Paul is like doing an overall view of his life. How he moved in God. What his life was like. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Now the Bible tells us here that Paul says he labored. Yes, he indeed labored. But at the same time he says, it's not I. Look at the word he says, it's not I. It's not me. But something in me called the grace of God. So he recognized there was something stirring him. And that's the grace of God that was stirring Paul and causing him to go in the right direction. It's important. Some of you have satellite TV. Now the most important thing when they put up that satellite up there, before you can get any channel, don't talk about putting to the right megahertz of frequency. Don't talk about that yet. Your satellite must face the right direction. Correct. If it faces the wrong direction, you don't even get any signal. It must face and orient to your satellite dish. Must face whichever orbiting satellite there is. If you don't face the right direction, you can tune all you want every channel. And you cannot find it. So tuning to the right channel and the right frequency is hearing that voice or the words, but facing the satellite dish to the right direction is the voice of God in our soul. That's why the Lord always wants your soul to be turned in the right direction. Now some of us have been hearing God's voice and God's thoughts and visions from time to time, but at other times you wonder, why did God suddenly stop speaking? It doesn't matter even you have already pre-tuned all your satellite dish. All you have to do, sometimes you have a stormy night, the clouds block and a static block, the electrical signal, the whole thing is gone. Or maybe a very strong wind blew a branch and knocked off your satellite dish and it's just facing your own house. It doesn't matter how you have tuned it, the whole thing is off again. So you could be a very attuned person. You could have heard the Holy Spirit's voice. You could hear God speaking. You can see visions of God. You can speak to God intimately. Suddenly, there's a silence that can come if your soul is suddenly turned the wrong direction. That's how important the voice of God in our soul is. Now, in order to discern God's voice in our soul,